Wrestling with worries, colon, overcoming Miss Worry Wart. The better question is, what do I not worry about? I worry about everything, from the happenings in the news to my family dynamics, from questioning my own goodness to the fear of making people upset with my honest expressions. The list of worries go on and on. Finances have been a constant source of concern over the years, even though we are doing good. My advice is to be prudent in your spending habits and don't have a zillion credit cards, as the headache of managing them outweighs any benefits they may bring. The problem with worrying is that it keeps my mind in overdrive, leaving me perpetually exhausted. It has even conditioned me to suppress and conceal my inner happiness, as if allowing it to flourish might lead to a sudden I hope you have a miracle today. Most people tell others when they leave for the day, have a great day. Yaya, on the other hand, used to tell me, I hope you have a miracle today. I would just laugh because I did not think like that, although I love the concept of miracles. In a remarkable talk on miracles given by Elder Dallin H. Oaks, he addressed the questions raised by the prophet Mormon, has the day of miracles ceased, found in Moroni chapter 7, verse 35 from the Book of Mormon. Many of us have witnessed miracles, often without fully recognizing their significance. Elder Oak proceeds to outline two categories of genuine miracles, macro miracles and micro miracles. Macro miracles, he explained, impact numerous people. The most profound example of a macro miracle is the atonement of Jesus Christ, the triumph over physical and spiritual death, which encompasses all humankind. Missionary work, revelations through our prophet, the organization of the Relief Society, service are all kinds of macro miracles that touch the lives of millions. On the other hand, micro miracles affect only a few individuals. These intimate and personal miracles hold great significance in our lives. For me, numerous micro miracles have played a pivotal role, particularly those connected with promptings from the Spirit guiding us to make significant moves. The most recent micro miracle occurred on January 20, 2023, when, while driving, I distinctly felt the Spirit impress upon me the need to sell our home on Lake Michigan Avenue and relocate to a smaller, more convenient place near Phil's workplace. The strain of Phil's commute had taken a toll on his health, making the decision all the more vital. On January 26, I broached the idea of moving with Phil, despite his initial reluctance due to the challenges of relocating. However, he acknowledged that it would be best in his best interest health-wise. We took the first step by renting a storage unit on February 1st, and from there, the whirlwind of preparations ensued. On February 14th, we met with our realtor, Rich, and decided to list our home on March 8th. The process of getting our 3,800-square-foot home ready for sale and organizing our belongings for the move was an intense and frenzied undertaking. With the help of our grandkids, who were true heroes throughout the process, we managed to sort, organize, and move our possessions to various destinations, including a storage unit, Desert Industries, Sherman Mel's home, Bruce and Noel's house, and our new apartment. We even managed to spruce up the garden and ready the rest of the house. It was an immense task that we could not have accomplished without the invaluable assistance of our grandkids. Truly, a micro miracle in itself. The process of us selling our home prompted Phil to confront his extensive collections, a task that proved challenging. With the invaluable assistance of his friend Mike, they dedicated 2 days sorting through his guns and numerous boxes of ammunition. Mike and his wife were like guardian angels, providing unwavering support throughout the process. Truly, this was a micro miracle that helped us navigate a complex task. In another unforeseen turn of events, Grandpa Park was unexpectedly taken off hospice care, an initial source of concern for me. However, this turn of events actually created an opportunity for us to proceed with our move. It is quite uncommon for an elderly person on a hospice care to be removed from the program. Despite Grandpa's resistance to change, he adjusted surprisingly well and seemed to appreciate his new bedroom. This, too, was a micro miracle that paved the way for his transition. Finding an apartment to meet Grandpa Park's specifications proved to be challenging, particularly due to the requirement for a walk-in shower and a carpet-free environment. Fortunately, we were fortunate to find a delightful two-bedroom apartment on the first floor with high ceilings and a lovely patio. Additionally, the apartment offers adequate security and convenient inside entries. Its proximity to Phil's workplace is a mere 4 miles away, allows me to drive him to and from work, resulting in a reduction of our financial burden by having only one vehicle. This undoubtedly was another micro miracle that fell into place. Miraculously, an oral offer materialized the day after our house was up on the market, and the closing process was swiftly completed within a month. This expeditious outcome was nothing short of a monumental miracle. Having bought and sold 7 houses in the past, we can confidently say that this was the fastest sell and closing that we'd ever experienced. Following our relocation, Phil received news that he may require 2 heart valve replacements and 1 valve repair, a revelation that sheds light on the exhaustion he had been enduring. It is truly a stroke of fortune that we had made our move from before receiving this crucial information. For me, the culmination of these micro miracles during the entire moving process has manifested into a remarkable miracle that has transformed my life significantly. Quote, "It is a quiet multitude of little miracles that makes life sweet," end quote. I was deeply humbled by a remarkable miracle that unfolded when I had the opportunity to meet my dear friend Marva. At the time, I resided in Richmond, Virginia, while she lived in Utah. Coincidentally, I was scheduled to fly to Utah to visit our home there and decided to reach out to Marva to see if we could meet up. However, my hopes were dashed when I discovered that she was in California visiting her son and would subsequently be traveling to Philadelphia to visit her other son. It seemed like our paths wouldn't cross during my trip. As the day of my return to Richmond approached, I made my way towards the back of the plane when an unexpected sound caught my attention. It was my name being called. To my astonishment, Marva was on the same flight as me, and what's more, our seats were right next to each other. We both had connecting flights, with Marva flying from LA to Salt Lake City and both of us having layovers in Atlanta. The sheer probability of being on the same flight and having adjacent seats left an indelible mark on my heart. This extraordinary encounter will forever remain etched in my memory as a cherished miracle. I believe in miracles, and I'm so grateful to recognize micro miracles happening in my life. My micro miracles bring me comfort, assuring me that throughout the rest of my life, there is hope to see more. End chapter. Weaknesses and strengths. Where to start? I had to look at my existing weaknesses and do anticipate finding additional ones in the coming future. Looking back, I can now see that one of my main obstacles that hindered my potential in my youth was my lack of self-worth. Unfortunately, I was unaware of the significance of self-reflection and the necessary steps for personal growth. Despite receiving a full grant and to attend the University of California at Davis, I failed to recognize my own intelligence. I recall struggling with statistics, attempting to use a slide ruler, calculators did not exist, only to realize that it wasn't my forte. Experiencing these minor setbacks eroded my confidence. In hindsight, pursuing a degree in business or organizational behavior would have aligned better with my strengths and interests. Fortunately, throughout my journey, I was blessed to have Yeye as my biggest cheerleader. He consistently affirmed my intelligence, providing the support and encouragement I needed to develop a healthier self-perspective. On a different note, when contemplating the qualities of a person I wanted to marry, my first criteria is their respect for me, and secondly, they are intelligent. Although people say physical attractiveness is critical, I do not place such a high value in this because we all eventually age. I've magically poofed into a year where wrinkles seem to become my new co-stars. Also, as my relationship with Heavenly Father deepened, I realized that my intelligence is relational and have felt guided by His hand. Recognizing this relational aspect of intelligence has brought a sense of purpose, direction, and strength as to who I truly am. If any of my children or grandchildren experience a lack of self-worth, please be proactive and seek assistance in developing confidence. Remember, there are people around you ready to be your cheerleaders, just as Yay Yay is for me. And count on it, I'll always be your loudest and proudest cheerleader. Another weakness that may have impacted my children's growth is my struggle with consistency, a common hurdle for someone with ADHD. ADHD and consistency aren't my best friends. I read that a person with ADHD, quote, struggles with short-term memory, and we often can't even remember what we wanted to be consistent at with half the time, end quote. That can pretty much summarize me in a nutshell, which is why I became the master of making lists. Where I feel like I failed with consistency was with prayers, follow-up with the kids' school assignments and tests, scriptures, lessons, and even the way I disciplined. Consistency is said to be a key to making lasting change. Although I've worked to make my daily life more consistent, I've always have that inner feeling, inner free spirit to be spontaneous. After all, what I realize is that I'm consistently inconsistent. I'm trying hard to think of the strengths that I might possess. I asked Yeye what was one of my strengths other than organization. He remarked that I have a knack for making sense out of confusion. A case in point, Yeye was quite disheartened when he didn't receive an extra bonus at work one year. He seemed a bit sulky for a bit until I pointed out that due to the recent reorganization, his boss has been laid off. I explained that it was particularly impossible for the company to grant Yeye a bonus when they had to let go of his boss. I believe that I have common sense, which is mostly practical and a good understanding of consequences. I tend to rely on intuition and gut feelings while also considering the feelings of others. An example of my thought process, I sometimes wondered about the decisions made by the faculty concerning graduate students, and I can't help but humorously mutter, well, that doesn't make any sense. For instance, a faculty member making the students in his lab expect the 996 lifestyle, which is work from 9 a.m. to 9 p.m., 6 days a week. It's almost comical to imagine a domestic student willingly diving into a life devoid of school, work, personal life balance. However, this scenario strangely works in the faculty member's favor as students from China, accustomed to a 996 lifestyle, joined his lab. Ah, the curious twists of academia. Having a positive mindset, grit, and self-belief, you can gradually transform your weaknesses into strength. I loudly say positive affirmations to myself and have a prayer inside when going through a challenge with the end result in mind. As well, I say to myself, don't freak out. After all, what you ultimately do in life comes out of who you believe you are.